Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Tuesday afternoon. Predators. Next two games in Canada. Tonight in Montreal. Take on the Canadiens. And then Thursday evening in Toronto to take on the Leafs. Arpan Basu is on the line with us. He covers the Canadiens for The Athletic. Used to be with NHL.com. Arpan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a while since we've chatted, and with all the new, the latest news that's come out in the last 24 hours, for a guy that you know, has been covering the league, now you're covering Montreal where you live and you reside, and you see, I want to know, how is it going to be covered tonight with what the NHL has put out there with locker rooms and media availability? How, I don't think we've ever experienced anything like this. I know I haven't in my lifetime. So what's been the discussion piece up there?
First of all, it should be clear that, you know, everything that I feel like the league is doing is perfectly reasonable under the circumstances. You know, I mean, there are precautions to be taken just because of how new and unknown this virus is, and sort of the, you know, all the details of it are still not known, and they're working on figuring that out. So I think it's reasonable to expect not only the NHL but all four major professional leagues in North America to take this step of restricting locker room access. Here it's a bit different in the sense that, you know, we're so many people. Yesterday after practice was the first time the Canadians really implemented this policy, and you know, it's not ideal working conditions for people who are trying to go beyond the day-to-day and get more in-depth with players. You can't really do that in a crowded setting the way we're kind of forced to do it now. So I don't know. Tonight's going to be the first game under this policy. Post-game, I don't think is that big of a deal, in the sense that even when the locker room was open after a game, there were generally, you know, two or three or four players talking at any given time, and there were big scrums around each of them. So it's going to be much the same tonight, I think, except it'll just be outside the dressing room instead of inside. It's really after practices and morning skates where you really feel it more, because those are times when there are more players in the room, and you can kind of, as a reporter, you can kind of seek out a guy who's maybe not talking to anyone and get some time alone with them and talk about things a little bit more in depth in a one-on-one situation that, you know, that's kind of what not only us as media are losing, but even our readers and listeners and viewers are missing, in sense of having that interaction in sort of a more intimate setting. But I don't think game coverage is going to be all that different. Obviously, it will be, in the sense that the players are leaving the locker room to come out and talk to us in a hallway. But yeah, we'll just kind of have to make the best of it, because right now, I don't think anyone can really criticize what the league is doing, because, you know, they have to protect their primary asset, which is the talent, the players that put on the performances every night. So I kind of understand where they're coming from that perspective.
Yeah, certainly. And not talking about criticizing them, I'm just curious, because, I mean, I think you can make the case in the market that you're in, and really the next two stops starting with tonight, you could make the case. I mean, they may be the most heavily covered teams in the league, in Montreal and Toronto, right? I mean, they've got a throng of media that follow them around every step of the way. And, I was just curious how you guys are going to handle it, because I know it's such a big deal up there.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's honestly, it is a big deal. And really, you know, at the Bell Center, we're kind of lucky in the sense that right outside the Canadians' room and even outside the visitors' room, there is a big empty space where they can stage these things. Toronto's going to be a little more complicated, frankly, because the area outside both dressing rooms is this pretty cramped hallway, which even when the rooms were open to media, you know, like the broadcasters would do their interviews in that hallway, the coaches would do their interviews in that hallway, and it was always a situation where there's a bunch of people going back and forth, and it was crowded as it was. So I don't really know how they're going to handle it in Toronto. It's going to be a bit more of a challenge, I think, there. In Montreal, we at least have the physical space to do something like that post game. It's not going to be ideal. But I think the more of us sort of accept that reality, the better it'll be, because we're just going to have to deal with it. And it's really not, you know, I don't want to complain about it at all, but it is going to make our job more difficult. But again, as I mentioned, like post game wise, you don't get those opportunities to really, you know, sit down and talk to a player for, you know, 5-6 minutes after a game, because everyone's kind of in a rush and it's night and people have deadlines. It's really in the practice setting, morning skates and practices, that we're going to see a change in how we do our jobs, and we're just going to have to adjust.
What's the vibe on this team as they've played 70 games? Now they've got a dozen games left before they call it a regular season. I mean, they're certainly there, barely hanging on by a thread, barely. What's the mood? What's the temperature of this Montreal team up there?
Well, there's a pretty big disconnect between how the organization views the team and how their customers view the team, frankly. It's, you know, Marc Bergevin has been the GM here for 8 years. It'll be 8 years in May since he's been hired. This will be the third straight year out of the playoffs. I mean, yeah, they're technically hanging on by a thread, but I think even the Canadians themselves have resigned themselves to the fact they're not going to make the playoffs this year. So that's going to be 3 years in a row, 4 times in 5 years. And even the one time they made the playoffs, they just played 6 games and were out. So there's a good deal of frustration within the fan base and a desire to see some drastic change. But from the organization's perspective, you know, they've decided to go and build through the draft, and they've accumulated a ton of draft picks. I mean, this year, you know, in June, with the draft in Montreal right now, they have 14 picks right now. I'm not sure they're going to make all those picks. They're probably going to use a couple of those to sort of try and make some trades. But that'll make, if they use all 14 of those picks, that'll make 35 prospects that they've taken in three drafts, in 2 calendar years. So that's really where the focus of the emphasis of the organization is that this is the basis for when this team will be true competitors and true contenders, that they hope that enough of those guys will make it through the development system and onto the NHL team and be good players for this team. But that's going to take patience, and that's the problem right now, is that the Canadians are preaching patience and the market is kind of running out of patience. They've been very patient, I would say. Like, you know, one playoff appearance in 5 years is not something Montreal is very used to. And so the fans, I feel, have shown a very good degree of patience, and now it's sort of run out at a time when the organization itself is preaching it the most, is that this is the stage in our sort of reset, they've called it, where you need to be patient and wait for these kids to develop and come up to the NHL. So it's going to be interesting to see how patient this market can be. And, you know, next year might be as difficult as this year was. I don't think the organization itself is anticipating that, but the possibility exists, and at some point, something's going to have to give.
Arpan Basu from The Athletic is with us, talking Montreal Canadiens. So with all of that said and the patience there, do you think that Claude Julien is the right fit to be able to build this team? I mean, he has the pedigree. He's won a Stanley Cup. We know what he's done in the past, but is he the one that can do it for the future?
Well, I think Claude Julien's future is tied to Marc Bergevin's future in many respects. I mean, they both have contracts that run through the 21-22 seasons. You know, I'm of the opinion, you know, Marc Bergevin has already come out and said that Claude Julien will be back next season, which I guess is a tacit admission on his own part that he's been given an assurance that he'll be back next season. So you know, I think that if this team does not make the playoffs next year and actually show some sign of achieving a contending status in the near future, that there will be a pretty significant regime change at the end of next season. But for now, I got to say that, you know, of the two men, I think Claude Julien has really done the most that he could with what's been an imperfect roster the last 2 years. He hasn't made the playoffs in either of those 2 years, but still, last year they came within 2 points, 3 points really, of qualifying for the playoffs and were knocked out in the second to last game of the season. And I don't think anyone could, I mean, that was largely because of Claude Julien's coaching, not despite it. This year, I don't think Claude's had as good of a year. Didn't really adjust to the challenges that some injury issues posed for him as quickly enough, I feel. But the fact remains that the roster that he was given is an imperfect roster. And it'd be somewhat unfair to expect him to draw so much out of a roster that clearly has certain deficiencies and holes 2 years in a row. So, you know, I think that both these guys, Mark Bergevin and Claude Julien, will have sort of a judgment day, but I don't think it's coming at the end of this season. It's going to come based largely on next season. So the pressure's on largely Bergevin, in my opinion, to really have a great offseason and sort of flip the switch from a developing team into a team that's starting to look to contend in the near future by making some really aggressive moves this offseason.
Arpin, obviously we got to know Shea Weber quite well during his time here in Nashville and now the captain in Montreal. I remember when the news came out that he was injured, there were reports that he could miss the rest of the season, then it could be 4 to 6 weeks, and it was just a few days later he was back in the lineup, and now he's on pace to play game number 1,000, ironically, at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. What has he meant to the team as they go through this sort of rebuild? You have that veteran leader as your captain, but we all know that Shea he's very quiet, especially when you want to talk hockey with him. But what does he mean from a leadership standpoint to the Habs?
Well, he's really a central part of Bergevin's plan in the sense that, you know, I think Bergevin has placed a very large emphasis on having a veteran framework in place for these kids to enter the league and learn from guys led by Shea Weber and Carey Price. Those are sort of the two pillars that Bergevin has established as being the guys that will facilitate this transition. But this is what's sort of tricky on Bergevin's part, is that he has somewhat of an obligation to create or to build a winning team around two guys who have never won the Stanley Cup, who have never even played in the final, and who would like to do that before they retire. And, you know, Shea's 34, Carey's 32. They see that they don't have this endless amount of time in order to achieve that goal. Really the only thing remaining on both of their resumes, although Weber's never won a Norris either, but I mean, I don't think he really cares about that. So he's important. He's crucial, in fact, to what Bergevin is trying to do in terms of the rebuild, because you talk to any young player who on this team, going back from the time he arrived in Montreal after that huge trade with Nashville, and they will gush about what Shea Weber has meant to them and how he's helped them come along and how he's helped them become professionals and learn about what it means to be an NHL player. But at the same time, you know, Shea Weber wants to win. And you're not going to win while you're trying to integrate all these 19, 20, and 21-year-olds into your lineup and having them learn the ropes in the NHL. So that's really sort of the delicate balance that Mark Bergevin has been trying to navigate here, is that on the one hand, he wants to build through the draft with all these young kids, but on the other hand, he has a certain obligation to his two leaders that he himself has identified as central to his plan. He has an obligation to them to allow them to achieve this goal that they both have that they've not come close to achieving yet. So it's going to be interesting, because if this offseason doesn't go that well for Mark Bergevin, if these two guys don't see a clear path to contention in the very near future, I'm going to start to wonder whether they might start asking themselves, is this really the best thing for us to stay in Montreal? So there's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of factors here that are all going to play out, I feel, this summer. And Shea Weber and Carey Price are kind of central to that, in the sense that they both have goals that need to be met, and the window for them to meet it is dwindling with every passing year.
Good stuff, Arpan. As always, appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Arpan Basu. The Athletic covers Montreal for them, and it's the Preds and the Canadiens tonight. It's 6 o'clock. That'll be Puck Drop with Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call. I'll have pregame for you starting at 5. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Hope a lot of you come out to Franklin tomorrow and see us. Bring some stuff that we can donate. Second Harvest Food Bank. We'll be looking for some non-perishable items. We'll be at the Kroger, 1203 Murfreesboro Road in Franklin. Smashville Live, by the way, is tomorrow night from 7 until 8. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will make an appearance.
He will.
How about that?
Yeah, with others.
And it's going to be at Bridgestone Arena, is that right?
Yeah, so it's kind of a unique thing with the SEC tournament going on. This one isn't open to the public like other ones, whereas you have to have a ticket, obviously, to the SEC tournament. But we'll be at Barrel House at our broadcast location, and that's where the commish will be, and other special guests as well.
If you're going to be at the arena, can you come in and hang out?
Yeah.
At Barrel House?
Mm-hmm.
You can sit and watch?
Look, right now you can do most of those things, but it changes every hour, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Are you hosting that show?
I am not.
Okay.
I am not.
Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. So if you are going to be in the arena on Wednesday night, checking out some games, get ready for Vanderbilt in Arkansas, stop by Barrel House. And I don't even know what the crowd's going to be like at Bridgestone. I know Wednesday night will probably be tough.
Yeah,
Georgia, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Probably going to be tough.
Kermit in the house?
Yeah, that is true. They did not have the same season as last year.
No.
And I hate that. I'm a big fan of Kermit.
Oh, we all are. We all are. And he'll get it. He'll get it going, you know, and this is a great opportunity for him. So he'll get it turned around. But this was just not the year that last year was.
No. And as of right now, there's no new news on the front of the SEC. The big news today is coming from the Ivy League, and they have canceled their men's and women's conference tournament. Which is interesting because they just started Ivy League conference tournaments. They've always just sent their regular season champ. And this year's regular season champ on the men's side was Yale. And Yale lost to Harvard twice. And Harvard was the 2 seed going into that tournament. And it was supposed to begin on Friday. And a lot of people at Harvard, and they're going to be the host. And a lot of people at Harvard are not happy, including a lot of the players.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all,
because they don't get a chance to win a bid to the NCAA tournament. And so that's kind of been the big news today. And you do wonder what else is to follow. We know we've been talking also about these locker rooms being shut down in the NHL. And that's why I brought it up to Arpan, because Montreal and Toronto are two meccas for hockey. And they are covered with a throng of media every single game, whether it's game one, whether it's game 26, whether it's game 52, whether it's game 70, or game 82, it's covered the same way. It's
right.
A big deal in those markets. And NHL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and MLS has said they're going to conduct business a little bit differently. And you're starting to see more and more things trickle out there, and you just wonder what is the next shoe to drop. I don't think that's going to be it. Right,
no,
I think there's going to be more.
I think there's going to be.
I guess what I want to know is how much more.
Yeah, I think there's – look, I think there's going to be a sporting event that is played a la Baltimore Orioles a few years ago in front of no fans.
Is there a chance it's the NCAA tournament?
I don't know. Let me ask – can I ask a weird question?
Only if it's weird.
Let's say the NCAA – because this is how my mind works. Let's say the NCAA tournament, they say, hey, the first two rounds, we're sorry, but we're just going to have to televise it. It's going to be empty arenas. Does that change you watching it?
It's not a weird enough question.
Okay, well, here's why I say that. Because it would be weird for me to watch it. Like, I think the fans are a part of the whole thing.
So it would change. You would literally say, you know what, no fans.
I'm not saying
I'm
I would necessarily wouldn't watch it, but it would. The question was, would it change how you watched it? It would be different.
It would be weird for anybody to say yes. Honestly, that's the way I view it. If anybody said yes, if you don't play in front of anybody, I am not watching. That's weird to me. Would it be different and weird? Yeah, to watch. Yes, but it doesn't. You're still going to watch.
Yeah, it just it changes the experience for me. Yeah, I'll
Does
still
it
watch.
Really, though?
Yeah.
There's a the first round game. There's a lot of first round games that aren't played in front of very many people. I mean, it's
right,
so
but you still like when you have
the little section of 3,000 fans. You're glued to that.
No, but I'm glued to the hearing it. I'm glued to the sound of when a 15 knocks off
band.
A two. The band, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, does the band get to play?
No, nobody will be in there.
Does the media get to watch it from somewhere so they can report on it?
Look, I don't know. I'm not trying to make – I don't know the answers. We're bringing this up because there are much smarter people that have to figure all this stuff out if indeed it gets to that point. I mean, that's a big tournament to implement a rule like that. But they're all their – most, not all, a lot of their money, the bulk of their money is tied to what?
TV.
The television.
Mm-hmm.
Television contracts. And that's where most of their money. By the way, I just saw, speaking of that, perfect segue, that they have announced their eight broadcast teams for the NCAA tournament. I wonder what these folks think right now today. The A team will be Jim Nance, Bill Rafferty, Grant Hill, and Tracy Wolfson. That'll be their top crew. Brian Anderson, Chris Weber, and Allie LaForce will be second.
Okay.
Tier team. Ian Eagle, Jim Spanarkle, and Jamie Erdahl will be third broadcast crew. Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, Dan Bonner, Dana Jacobson.
Like it.
Brad Nessler, Jim Jackson, Evan Washburn.
Oh, it'll be good to hear Nessler on the call
mm-hmm.
for a college game.
Yep. Spiro Deeds.
Deedus.
Deedus. I don't know why I said Deeds. Spiro Deeds, Steve Smith, Wally Zerbiak, Lisa Byington. I don't think was Wally. He was more of a studio guy, right?
Yeah, last year he was stuck in the studio, so it sounds like they're going
to
let him out.
Moved
on the floor.
Yeah. He's moved out of the studio. Wally Zerbiak, he was a fun player to watch.
Ahead of his time.
I love that they use have used the Inside the NBA crew minus Shaq.
Oh, yeah.
The last few years.
Oh, it's fun. Even when Charles Barkley's in there, he doesn't know a thing about other teams' rosters.
Chuck is awesome.
His blatant Auburn fandom was actually kind of fun. It gave you another
last
reason
year,
to
especially.
Watch it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Especially last year.
It looks like Steve Lavin will not be a part of. Remember, he's been with Nessler and Jim Jackson.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Evan Washburn. Steve Lavin will not return to that role. Lynn Elmore will not return with Spiro Deeds and Steve Smith. So that's how Wally Zerbiak replaced him there. Wally Zerbiak moving from the studio to the court now. And let's see if there's anything else. Yeah, that's about it. So I thought I would pass that along. They just released their broadcast crews for the NCAA tournament, and who knows?
Who knows what's going to happen?
No idea what it's going to look like. All right, we'll come back.
we had a texter that said, I watched some Italian soccer games with no fans, and it was very weird.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm not doubting it'll be weird, but I think it would be weird if you said, I'm not watching because nobody's in the stands.
But that's not – I said, does it change the way you take it in? Not necessarily would you not watch. Just does it change it?
I don't think there's any doubt, right? I mean, yeah. How could you not? Like you said, especially in this case with the bands and cheerleaders and just the whole atmosphere. Sure.
Yeah.
And that section they'll show, especially sure. for the little guy that's the 14 seed that's leading with 3 minutes to go and they call a timeout and they show that
they
little,
don't show mom.
A little section of 2,500 fans that are going absolutely crazy. Sure.
Yeah.
I want to talk to all the men out there.
Talk to them.
I am. Been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board certified physician over there, is front and center on that quest to helping you. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope as we all get older, you want that, just like I do. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, make an appointment like I have, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always visit their website, coolspringsmd.com. Oof, that was an interesting discussion during the break. Indeed. Just kind of putting in perspective, Dennis, our general manager here, who knows things that are going on in Vegas. And let's be honest, Vegas, like Nashville, has always got things going on. And we talked to Arpin Basu and Montreal, ironically, who is the opponent for the Predators tonight. That is the host city for the draft, which is at the end of June. So that time frame, keep that in mind, end of June. In Vegas, they're the host city for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Just think about it. We're not far removed from, could you imagine, everything that we got to take in, everything that we talked about, the memories that we have from the NFL draft in our city and what that was like. That scene, that bar that was set, if it was this time last year, I mean, and you do wonder.
I was thinking about that earlier.
You know right now the NFL is in a room talking.
Like, what do we do?
Yeah, they just are. And I'm not saying that it's going to change anything, but I suspect that's at the end of April.
Yeah, I mean,
I suspect they're having some real tough discussions right now.
Yeah, I mean, and they have to. They have to do,
because Vegas is going to blow it out just like Nashville, and it's going to be a massive deal. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. So now what?
Yeah. Look, and I told you, I've booked a trip to go out west this summer, and my thought process is, okay, hopefully by then we know more information, that the panic has died down and everything will be returning to normal. But look, there's a chance that that's not the case when we get into the summer months. And for the NHL draft, that could definitely be a factor. But here in the immediate future, if we're talking about a potential of hockey games or NCAA tournament games or MLS or whatever being played in empty arenas and stadiums, I mean, that's definitely going to have an effect on the draft. We had Jim Wyatt on earlier and brought up the fact of, what if this was the NFL season? What would it look like? Well, they have a pretty big event coming up. So you have to plan, you have to think about it. And I do believe it's going to be interesting once we know a little bit more to see what happens. See if they do end up just saying, hey, we're not going to do it in a big open area. We're going to have it closed to fans. We're going to have a room and just, kind of like the like some other drafts that aren't really big events. They're just in a studio, in a room.
Well, who said that teams are going to say to the league, you know what, we're probably just going to hang out at our facility?
Yeah. Look, that could definitely happen.
We'll just have you just have a runner. You have 32 runners that just run up a card to the podium.
Yeah. And you could have those runners be like, I'm not doing that. There's a look, it's a domino effect, things like this. But that goes back to what I said earlier. It's the unknown. You just don't know. There's just a lot we don't know about this. And so that's what is freaking people out, is that they're just, you know, there are more cases being reported, not only in this area, but everywhere else. I think I just saw on Twitter that in the state of Tennessee, there are 6 confirmed cases of it. So, you know, that just adds to it. But it's a situation that we have to monitor. It's something that we are all having to be aware of and deal with right now. So just kind of is what it is.
What about all the games that are supposed to be played tonight? You got NBA, got the yep. NHL, and you got college basketball.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of these the big tournaments are getting cranked up, right?
Tomorrow, yeah. Some tonight, yeah.
Doesn't the ACC start tonight? Yeah, yep. ACC starts tonight.
When does the Big Ten with 14 teams, when does that start?
I think tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. ACC's today, tonight.
There you go.
Actually, their first game is in about 2 hours.
Well.
Pittsburgh and Wake Forest is about 2 hours.
Elijah will be tuning in.
Oh, yeah. You can't get me away from a TV right now. I stayed up way too late last night watching BYU St. Mary's, and I'd do it again.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to say this. I watch a lot of Gonzaga and San Fran. I wasn't blown away by Gonzaga.
No.
Yeah, defensively, they have a hard time stopping the dribble drive, and that hurts them a lot.
I expected to be more wowed by them. Yeah. San Francisco, I know, had a good season.
Oh, they're getting better. They could be in the tournament in a year or two. They could mess around because they've improved vastly over the last couple of years.
But I just was not – I wasn't wowed by them. Because I know a lot of people early in the year were like, Gonzaga's the best team in the country. I'm just telling you. This was, you know, months and months ago. I watched them last night, and I'm like, eh.
But if you've watched college basketball all this year, you can't say that. I don't think you can be definitive on the best team in the country.
That's the thing. That's why this. Good luck with brackets this year. It's going to be fun, but good luck.
I love it
because everybody really is like that. I mean, that is the biggest defense for Gonzaga or any team. You go, I mean, yeah, I like, but everybody's that.
And every team's got a fatal flaw. There's about maybe five or six teams that I would say are pretty solid favorites. But they all have one flaw, with the exception of maybe Kansas. I feel like they all have something that is going to beat them. Like Gonzaga, it's that defense. With Baylor, it's having someone that can get you a shot late, you know, or make a big shot. They had a hard time doing that against West Virginia this past week and TCU. So they're very flawed, good teams. I would say they're good teams, but they're flawed, good teams. Yeah.
I was like, San Diego, there was a run for a good while. People were like, San Diego State, I'm just telling you. Oh, my gosh, they're undefeated. Oh, my goodness. And then they lose to Utah State. It's like, well, I mean, I know what they're already in, so they're not, it's not like they had to win. They're in. But still, it's like, gosh. I just saying, I watched Gonzaga last night, and Zags are good. I was like, yeah. Okay. They could make a deep run or they could get knocked out. That's the way I looked at it. Deep run or they could get knocked out.
Especially if they defend like they did last night. I mean, they play a team that's good at getting to the bucket. They're going to have to win a shootout.
Yeah.
Which they can do. I mean, they were able to turn it up offensively later in the game last night, but because they absolutely had to. San Fran was getting whatever they wanted.
Greg asked a question on the text line. He says, dumb question, but I actually think this is a good question. If games are played with no fans, will the TV stations or the arena pipe in crowd noise to make it feel normal to watch? I actually think that's a very good question.
I don't know. I mean, once again, that may be conversations that are taking place right now. In fact, I think they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to be.
Even if they came away and said business as usual, they're still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think really. There's not very many. When it comes to this, we're kind of in new territory. I'm not sure there's very many dumb questions, because how would we know? There's really no precedent.
It's fascinating to see some of the things that are coming out.
It's kind of like in the movie Long Shot. You know, Seth Rogen's like, I don't know if we really know that. There's really no precedent or poll that says that.
I feel like we're in Demolition Man.
You know, if you know what part of the scene I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I know what
about the video that got released. Yeah. Like, well, I don't know if there's really a precedent for that, but yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We can maybe conclude that that's probably the way people will think, but we don't really have the data to back that up.
You watch a lot of movies.
No, I like that movie. I think it's a really underrated movie.
It is. It's good.
It cracks me up. I think it's good. All right, we'll come back, wrap up Tuesday's show next.
Welcome back. Aaron Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland hanging out on a Tuesday. My best friend, Tim Hasselbeck, going to join us tomorrow. Can't wait for that, because we'll see where that 0% is.
Mm.
It seems to be changing. Well, it doesn't change, but he was a little more nervous about it last week. But speaking of, you know, I brought up earlier, Darren, that I've been tweeting Tom Brady every day.
Mm-hmm.
See if I could get an answer out of him. He's yet to respond. Mike on our text line said, I thought maybe TB was like Willie. Then I looked, and Chase does have a blue check mark. Can't understand why he hasn't replied yet.
Oh, wow.
Thought that was pretty good.
Of course, that accusation coming from Nate that Willie only responds to people with blue check marks. Just a little reference point to you just made the list. A couple weeks ago.
And Willie's been better about it.
We were at Tin Roof on DeMumbry, and he is desperately trying to get off the list because that was not a good day for him. On the list, there was a little bit of a pile-on session, because you know that sometimes this is how it works. One person comes out and says something, then a lot of people follow, and there were a lot of people like, "Yeah, Nate's right. I tweet Willie too, and he never responds." I'm like, you know, he goes to Martha's Vineyard in the summer, right?
Well, we're gonna
people
test.
That go to the vineyard, they don't respond. We're gonna to people on Twitter,
right? They don't. But we're going to test it because he's our guy. He's our boy. So I just sent him a tweet from both of us. Just wanted to check in and see how you're doing. Miss you. Bye. We'll see if Willie
responds. We'll see if we get a response.
The real test would be to make a burner account with no blue check mark and then tweet at him and see if he responds. And if he doesn't respond, then I guess Nate's hypothesis is correct.
Well, it was a little phony when he started, because you said, oh, he's doing a better job. Yeah, he recognized the people that were calling him out, and then he started responding to them. So it's a little bit, to your point, maybe the burner account, like unrecognized, you know, something he's never seen before, that would be a good case study.
That's a good idea.
Right? That's a good case study to see. Something he's never seen before, does he respond?
Oh, I could do that easily.
So far,
I believe in you.
In 60 seconds, he has not responded.
No.
And they're not doing, I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the
afternoon.
It could
be nap time, though.
Could be.
Having a pregame
could
nap.
Could be nap.
So
we've been talking a lot about the NCAA tournament, and with it being just around the corner, whether they're going to have people in the stands or not, it's time for you to sign up and play our official bracket challenge. That's brought to you by Central Barbecue and Sun Service Convenience Stores. Go to the GameNashville.com or the Game Nashville mobile app right now and sign up to play. Brackets will open after the teams have been selected. Remember, Selection Sunday, 5 days away, where we're going to learn about all the brackets and who's in and who's out. Also, if you're lucky enough to have a perfect bracket, you can win $1 million. This year, it could be $1 billion. Billion. If it's not, I'm just saying it could be. With the way it's set up this year, I mean, no one's going to have a perfect bracket. No one ever does anyway, but especially this year. It could be $1 billion somebody's going to win. First place winner receive a Central Barbecue $200 gift card and a pair of tickets to see Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan at Bridgestone Arena on April 24th. Now, that would be a cool night. That's cool. That is the reason you need to jump in there and get involved. Fill out your brackets. Get signed up. Get ready to go. And what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say from our poll that we put up,
Where are we on that?
Yeah, so and I'm leaving it open, so you can keep voting, but 69% say Ryan Tannehill. 31% Tom Brady. Who is the best option under center for the Titans next season? Couple of responses. Kevin says, so sick of hearing about Tom Brady. If he was turning 33 next season instead of 43, I could get excited. We'll be glad when this is over. Drake says, where is option three? West Side Fireman says, Brady is 43 and has been washed up for 2 years. This is 2020, not 2008, in which I replied that washed up for 2 years, he has a ring from February 2019 that would say otherwise.
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
So I'm going to respectfully
disagree.
But
sure. Washed up? Sure. Okay. If winning the Super Bowl is washed up, I would love for all of us to strive to be washed up. That should be our goal. Let's be washed up together and win Super Bowls. It's going to do it for today's show. I can only imagine what we'll be talking about tomorrow. We'll be out in Franklin at Kroger. Stop by, say hello, bring in some non-perishable items. Help out to those who were affected over a week ago. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM is next. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.